Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a B2B marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of B2B marketing professionals and people interested in B2B marketing. It's run by B2B marketers for B2B marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for B2B marketers. Today, we've got over 1,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. In this episode, we'll be talking content with the managing director at Considered Content, Jay Ball, with content marketing manager at LinkedIn, Dan Daly, and with marketing professional, Agata Kawa. Ready, set, then let's go. Today, we continue our A to Z of business marketing. We're looking to give a primer on the very latest thinking, practices, and practical examples on every big topic in business-to-business marketing land. And hey, we've reached C, and C stands for content. We start with Managing Director of Considered Content, Jay Ball. Jay, welcome to the podcast, and over to you.
Thanks very much, Dave. Well, in the world of B2B marketing, content is a much used and abused term. So, I mean, let's face it, pretty much everything is content today. So, you know, who does content-free marketing? But while we tend to talk about creating content, really that's at the output end of things. I mean, in fact, if you focus too much on the creation part, will tend to lead you towards these kind of random acts of content. So it's where the output becomes the ultimate goal. The real goal, of course, is advancing your strategy. So you need to be clear before you start about what you want to achieve for the business. Strategy first, tactics second. Now, there's a view that content is there primarily to support buyers when they're ready, to give them, you know, the information they need to take the next step when they're ready to take the next step. And you see a lot of this sort of in and around the inbound approach to content. However, I'd argue that this leaves a lot of value on the table. I mean, I'd say that done right, content should be able to help you grow your brand. It should change how customers behave and what they choose to invest in. Now, today, when I look across content, too much content is hit and run. So brands tend to produce these sort of one big piece of pillar content. They'll smatter some obligatory blog posts around it and call it done. This sort of content tends to be top of funnel, as that tends to be the easiest to do. You know, with a top of funnel piece, there's no need to sort of tie it to the messy world of solving real world customer problems. Now, all that can look great, but the results tend to lack as you get into it. You know, regardless of the advances in data, actually, we've got no hard and fast, reliable way of knowing exactly where a customer is in the buying journey. So it's often better to create a series of interconnected pieces of content that are pegged at different stages of the customer journey, each with the objective of moving a customer to the next stage. Now, this isn't to say that the buying journey today is that kind of linear 1, 2, 3 buy progression, because far from it, anything but almost. But it does allow a customer to ignore your thought leadership if it's irrelevant to them, but still pick up more practical problem-solving pieces and move on from there. Now, when we do this, this is what we term a content cycle, we split the content generally into sort of three broad buckets that follow a why, how, what framework. So at the why level, it tends to be more at that sort of thought leadership level, answering the customer question of, you know, why should I care? Why is this important and urgent to me? Then as we move through, we get into the how level, which is, you know, focusing on buyers that are aware of the issue and to do something about it, but looking for the answer to the question, how do I go about solving this problem? And at this stage, it's really more about process than product, probably 80-20 in that way. And then you get into the how content. So, you know, I've bought into the why, I now know how, and really it's down to what should I be buying at this point, what product or service. Now, out of the three of them, it's actually the how content, that, you know, what many would term mid-funnel content, that tends to be the hardest working content you'll ever produce. It'll deliver the greatest value to customers, and it'll probably have the longest lifespan. So all that's great, but it can all still fall to pieces if we fail to remember one simple truth, that customers and prospects are deluged with content. Too many brands produce content as if they face no competition whatsoever. So for example, if I pop in, you know, digital transformation ebook into Google, I'll get almost 18 million results. Even if I do an exact phrase search, I'll find over 8,000 existing pieces of content. Yet next week, another tech vendor will create another version with little discernible difference from all of the others. Being distinctive is now more important than ever. After brand size and share of market, creative execution of your content is the largest determiner of profitability in some way in what you'll do. Yet some recent LinkedIn research showed that half of brands are mistaken for a competitor. So you spend all that money, and if you fail to be distinctive, you could be sending wonderful leads along to your nearest competitor, probably the largest competitor in the market. Now, many companies are risk averse, which is understandable given the state of many markets and us all looking down uncertain futures at the best of times. But when it comes to marketing and content, the biggest risk most marketers face is being totally ignored. Your content needs to stand out in every way it possibly can, from what you say to how you say it, to what it looks like, to how you promote it. Now, importantly, this is not simply about jumping on the next bright shiny bandwagon that comes along, you know, Clubhouse, anyone. While you can stand out by being an early adopter, the time and effort of getting up to speed will often be overshadowed by the limited numbers of potential customers you can reach. Now, this is not to say don't try new things, just don't only try new things. Another way content initiatives fail is in the approach that companies tend to take to distribution. So we've all, particularly recently, been conditioned to think that everything needs to be personalized and hyper-targeted. So, you know, all the ABM stuff, all the one to few content that's around. Now, there are absolutely times when this is the right approach, but the rule of thumb, in my mind, should be to maximize reach whenever you can. Get your content in front of as many potential buyers as possible, as often as you can afford. Don't rely on your database. The data is even worse than you think it is. Don't offload responsibility on programmatic and network ad buys. The wastage can be enormous, and the prevalence of fraud should pretty much keep any marketer awake at night. Instead, sort of look to ways you can target broad reach audiences, for example, with finding media properties to partner with, but to do it directly, or to use high quality syndication. That's how you will get the reach you need without the wastage that comes along with that a lot of the time. And I guess as a final point would be to say, you know, get out of your customer's way. Now, I fully understand the desire to gate content, and we gate a lot of the content that we create. But you have to take along with that it can have a massive negative impact on engagement. Now, some of this comes down to issues with, typically with PDFs, which make it difficult to see if people are downloading and reading them. So, you know, people pop onto the landing page, they'll fill out the form, they'll click the download, but then what? You've got no real idea of whether they just pop it in a folder somewhere or if they consume every last word, image, diagram of it. By moving to more responsive formats, you can add tracking within the piece itself. So if you already know the recipient, they're in Marketo or whatever marketing automation system you use, then you'll have no need for a form because you already know who they are. And you can actually see whether they looked at the piece and what they looked at. Did they spend more time on sections 2, 5, and 7? And maybe a salesperson should give them a call and start talking to them about that. Or you can add the sort of the lead feeder style tracking for anonymous visitors. Also, responsive formats mean that you can place gates within the piece. So for example, after the introduction, when you've already demonstrated the value that the piece is going to offer first, or even better, you gate it at the end of the piece. You've seen all this value, now sign up for more. Ultimately, with all content, I'd argue it's better to maximize the number of people who see your content, who engage with it, and who begin to notice and remember your brand at those key moments that matter, rather than simply farming emails of variable value.
Jay Bourne, Managing Director of Considered Content. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Our next content expert is Content Marketing Manager for LinkedIn Sales and Marketing Solutions, Dan Daly. Dan, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Hi, Dave. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be taking part in your show here today and to all of your audience. I'm glad to take a few moments and talk to you a little bit about content marketing today, why it matters, where it's been, where it's going, and some potential tips and tricks that you can take into your strategy going forward. So first of all, I thought I'd kick off by giving my perspective on why content marketing matters. So, a strong content marketing strategy is about having a long-term plan to drive growth for your business. Not so different from most other marketing functions, but with so much uncertainty caused by the last year, it's more important than ever that all of marketing, and especially content, focuses on plotting a path to recovery for both your business and your customers' businesses. Because while it's also about boosting your share of voice, owning conversations, developing trust and credibility, all of that good stuff, really at the heart of it, it's about being a solver, not a seller to your audience. You know, content marketing initially began with the need just to be discoverable on search engines and perhaps engage with your community on social media. But it's grown far beyond that in recent years, in my opinion. And now I see it as a branch of marketing that is hypersensitive to ensuring that your brand is relatable, that its opinion is relevant, and most importantly, that your services are understood as valuable among your audience. So whether you are just starting out with creating a content marketing team, or whether you have one established and you're just thinking about what direction you should go in next after all the change presented by the last year, I've got a couple of tips and tricks that maybe are useful as ways to think about it going forward. So first of all, I'd recommend that teams perhaps recalibrate your best performing channels. And what I mean by that is that media consumption has changed an awful lot in the last year. You know, traditionally, it was a rule of thumb that you might spend, 80% of your marketing budget on digital activation and 20% on traditional types of media spend. But of course, that definitely needs a recalibration over the last year. You might, as a marketing team, be thinking about the efficacy of out of home or print or radio, those kind of traditional channels, and be thinking about putting nearly all of your budget perhaps in digital spend. You know, webinars have completely overtaken in-person events. Podcasts have gone through the roof in terms of popularity. But what this means is that there's huge demand now for people's screen time. So a pitfall for certain businesses might be to rush or skip this step of evaluating which of your channels are now best performing in this next normal kind of world. You know, really thinking about which channels are really going to enable you to get the attention of your community and your audience. So that is the first step that I would think about changing or about adopting. And there are many good resources. You know, McKinsey have a great COVID-19 implications for businesses report that you should be able to find pretty easily. And they have almost weekly updates that are backed up sometimes by survey data. So you can really get a good reflection of the market today and how people are consuming media. It's a resource well worth checking out. But once you've done that, and once you know where to have these conversations, the next thing is obviously to think about the messaging that you're bringing to some of these channels. A study by Edelman just last year said that 80% of their respondents want brands to act as a reliable news source. And this really speaks to the heart of being a solver instead of a seller and to putting your buyer first. And, you know, really what you need to be thinking about when you're trying to create best performing content. Because if you, as a content marketer, you are a natural curator, really. And think, you know, looking externally and internally about, you know, for sources of information and sources of truth that you can package and present to your audience. That's the kind of content that are going to build trust and credibility, sincerity with your audience. And you will have more content than you think. It's not to say that everything that came before 2020 can get tossed in the bin or out the window, you know. A really good example of best-in-class content storytelling, I think, is Shutterstock's Content Trends. It's a report they do every year. And again, you should be able to find it just on your search engine. It's kind of an interactive way that shows an interactive online story that shows how people are, you know, what visual assets people are purchasing on Shutterstock. And it's just a really good way of informing people. And, you know, it stands to their brand and their credibility that it's something that you can really rely on. So there, it's an example worth checking out. But lastly, the third and final thing that I think a good content marketer should think about is measurement and results. So naturally, while it's great to be reassessing your channel strategy and your messaging strategy, at some stage you're going to have to turn around to your business and tell them what good it's doing, you know, what ROI and benefits you're bringing back to the business. Now, if you are taking the solving for your customers before selling at them approach, then your campaigns will bear fruit. But we know from our personal lives that building trust and credibility takes time. You know, research by ourselves here in LinkedIn shows that 3/4 of marketers measure ROI or attempt to within the first month of their campaign launching. But in fact, of those same respondents, over half of them have a sales cycle that's more than 3 months long. So there's definitely a mismatch there between trying to measure and gauge the results, you know, too early. And in fact, only a fraction of them, only 4%, measured ROI from 6 months and beyond. So you have to think about how you communicate this internally and maybe realize that it's okay to be playing the long game at the moment. Because while everybody's adapting, both your business and your customers, it's important to know that that is reflected in the amount of time it takes sometimes for your campaigns to show success. And the best way to get around this, because obviously you don't want to then just sit back and think, well, I don't have to, you know, show my results in my campaigns, is to split out your KPIs from your ROI. So know what key performance indicators are going to show you that your campaigns are on track and are going to deliver, but separate that from knowing that, you know, sales and market share, that they come later. So do think about if your social posts perhaps are underperforming in terms of the engagement rate that they're getting, or perhaps you're not hitting your registration targets for that webinar series that you are running. And be alert to those ways that show whether you're on the right path or not, but do be comfortable in knowing that it's okay to say that, you know, you don't expect necessarily for you to command a greater share of the market or a greater share of voice for a couple of months down the line. You know, that definitely also is a reflection of how trust and credibility does take time to build properly. And as a content marketer, it's definitely my opinion that taking the long-term view and definitely putting the work into the brand building stage and building that trust and credibility with your clients is a far more effective way than just going for the hard sell, for that book a demo, and for rushing that message home. So those are the three main points that I would recommend. Recalibrate your marketing channels, reassess the messaging you're putting out on those channels, and then think about, again, about how you're measuring and the results that you're bringing back to your business. So those are the couple of two cents that I was hoping to offer your show today, Dave, and delighted to have the opportunity to speak to you all. Hopefully there's a few good nuggets of information there, and I look forward to speaking to you again. Thank you very much.
There's some great advice there. Dan Daly, Content Marketing Manager for LinkedIn Sales and Marketing Solutions. Thank you very much. Our third content expert is B2B marketing professional, Agata Kawa. Agata, welcome to the podcast and over to you.
Hello, thank you for having me. Content marketing is a game changer when it comes to business success. It offers a tremendous opportunities for business to boost their results. In today's digital world, brands are creating content that is designed to be valuable and relevant to customers' needs at different stages of their journey, from awareness, consideration, purchase to retention. There are four purposes of content marketing, and different types of content relate to each purpose. The four purposes of content marketing are to entertain, and the types of content we have here are quizzes, competitions, and videos. Then the next purpose is to inspire customers, and the types of content we have here are reviews, endorsements, or forums. The third purpose is to educate customers, and the type of content we have here are infographics, blogs, articles, ebooks, press releases, guides, or white papers. And the last purpose of content marketing is to convince customers, and that through different types of content, such as interactive demos, case studies, or product features. Some type of content, such as articles, e-news, demos, may serve multiple purposes depending on the message. Your content should appeal to customers on both rational, via educating and convincing, and on the emotional level, via entertaining and inspiring prospects and customers. Different purposes of marketing content are mapped to the customer journey. In the awareness stage, the aim of the content is to entertain and educate customers. In the consideration stage, it's all about educating and inspiring customers. In the purchase stage, it's about inspiring and convincing customers. And in the last retention stage, it's about convincing customers to stick to your products and to your solutions, or maybe buy some additional products and solutions. It's also worth mentioning that it's not only about targeting audience with the right type of content and messaging that addresses the needs of your customers, but also with the right call to actions at the right moments. In addition to that, it's important to break the silos within the marketing department and the entire organization to promote cross collaboration between teams, departments, and functions to ensure that unified messaging is sent to customers, providing them the seamless, transparent, and positive customer experience. So I've looked into the content marketing that can help specify the content purposes for different audiences. Now I would like to look into the content marketing model from Google called the Hero, Help, and Hub model. Hero content targets a big, broad audience to attract as much attention to your brand as possible. And the example here will be new product launch campaign. The Help content aims to answer the questions from prospective and current customers seeking information or inspiration. So the examples here will be FAQ page of a product or service, advice, tips on how to do something, customer service information. And the last hub content takes the form of regular content that loyal customers expect, such as weekly or monthly updates. An example here will be a regular blog post on a company website outlining recent updates of a product or a service. Content marketing can be used to communicate your brand value and solve your customers' needs. However, with a vast array of content at your customers' fingerprints, how do you make sure that prospective customers choose your brand over your competitors? The answer here is content sweet spot, which is all about bridging the business goals and customers' needs. This type of content will set your brand apart from your competitors and likely appeal to your customers. Deciding a content sweet spot isn't always a straightforward process though, as different functions in a company may have different opinions about what should go into the content. product managers might only want to emphasize their product features, whereas content marketers may be compelled to produce something that's absolutely loved by customers, but isn't relevant to the unique brand value. Like other customer-centric process, you'll need cross-silo collaboration here to find the sweet spot in all your content. Now I would like to discuss how brand storytelling and use of the video content can further increase your customer engagement. Storytelling is so much more than just telling stories in marketing and communications for business success. Questions to ponder regarding storytelling in a content marketing context are, what is the story and narrative behind everything you do as a brand? How do you actually connect with people in their language they understand the best? What type of stories appeal to your content marketing personas? What about the stories your customers and audiences are already telling? How much control can you have? How can you use storytelling in less branding related ways? And how do you make use of digital information and the user generated content? The challenge is how to share story in a way that aligns with the needs and priorities of your prospects and customers. But it's not just sharing the story, it's about making the story so compelling that it elevates perceptions of value and urgency, resulting in more qualified leads and faster purchasing momentum. Effective content marketing is about mastering the art of storytelling. Facts tell, but stories sell. There are 7 elements of visual storytelling, such as design, personalization, usefulness, personality, storytelling, shareworthiness, and real time. Now I'd like to talk about 5 secrets of super successful video marketing content for customer engagement. So the first one is about centering your video around the story, not the sale. The making your video feature the best 10 seconds ever. Thirdly, using humor in your video and stop being boring. The fourth one is optimizing your video for SEO. And the last one, educating your customers with video and proving yourself. Finally, I would like to share 4 content marketing trends that we're observing this year. So obviously the first one is video content. It's been very popular. Personalizing content for the customer, chatbots and artificial intelligence supplementing content creation, and optimizing the content strategy for voice search. So that's it from my side. Hope you enjoyed my insights on the role of content for business success. And bye for now.
B2B marketing professional Agata Kawa, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, to Jay Ball, to Dan Daly, and to Agata Kawa. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn, and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.